Hey, everybody. Welcome back to University of Adversity. I'm your host, Lance Isios. This is your first time tuning in. Welcome. All you regular listeners, welcome back. I love you all. Appreciate you all. If you aren't subscribed yet to the podcast, please go ahead and do so wherever you're listening to this. We're also available on YouTube. We got an amazing show for you today. Like, this one was fire. We have Lauren Salen joining us today. She is a PR and marketing consultant, healthy lifestyle expert, media personality, and entrepreneur. She's also a lifelong athlete, and she's kicking ass in life. And we went on so many levels in this conversation. It felt like we talked for hours, but it was only an hour. And she's just, a lot of like what she talks about is stuff that I talk about as well. So I always really enjoy hearing others' perspectives on the same stuff that I like to learn about and preach. And she just did a fantastic job explaining a lot of the stuff that I know people have questions about. So we talked about self-worth. I know a lot of people go through self-worth issues, including myself. We unpack that, her childhood, some of the stuff that came out of her parents getting divorced, or her parents not getting along for so many years, and, you know, our behaviors and relationships. And then we kind of went into like magnetism and what that means, and like what it means to actually show up and be the person that you want to be now, so that you bring in the things that you need in life. And there's one thing that you must do that a lot of people seem to forget, and we'll get into it in this episode. But yeah, this was powerful. I was also on Lauren's podcast called Amplify, and it was great. It was great to have her on and dive in because she knows her shit. And it was really fun to just listen to her perspective. And I know it won't be the last time that we do a podcast together, because like, yeah, we jam really well. So let me know what you guys think. If you guys get value from this, please leave us a review wherever you listen to this. It really helps with growing the show and all that. I know there's some people that say it doesn't help, but for me, I like to see the reviews of the show, real reviews. It just, for me, it adds credibility. I think the more honest reviews a show has, it shows like the loyalty of the listeners. And that's what I like. So I encourage you guys, if you do get value from this, I don't get a lot of feedback as far as like if somebody enjoyed it or what you want to hear. So having the reviews give me an opportunity to kind of see what you guys think. And also, I would really love if you have any questions, DM me on Instagram. Like, what do you want to hear about? What are some topics that are on your mind, on your heart that you want me to address? Who do you want me to bring on the show? I really would love to learn more about that. And we are currently working on a survey that I'm going to give to everybody. And when I have that, I will give it to all of you to fill it out. And we'll have some sort of like giveaway or something. Because, you know, for me, I want to do this and make the most impact with whatever you guys need. And obviously, I love to do this, but sometimes I can get caught in my own ways and do things that I want to do, but I want to make sure that it's serving you as well. So let me know what you guys need. You know, the door is always open. Send me a DM, send me an email. All the information's below in the show notes. You guys know how to navigate. So anyway, enjoy this episode. And yeah, let's rock it. Lauren Salen, come right up.
Life is going to give you challenges, struggles. It's going to force you to face your fears. Even though these may feel like your worst enemy, in truth, these are actually your greatest allies. My name is Lance Isios. Welcome to the University of Adversity.
Lauren, welcome to University of Adversity.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited for this.
Me too. I really enjoyed being on your show. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you. We
ended up chatting after for a while. And like we were saying, it's like there's always so much that happens before and after. It's almost like you just want to record as soon as somebody. The reason I don't do that right away is because whenever I do that, somebody's like, oh, I need to fix my mic or something. And I'm like, oh shit, I got to pause it anyways. Otherwise it would be good, right?
Right. I know there's usually so much juicy stuff because typically everyone on my show that I interview, I know them somehow, or we've at least had like a intro chit chat call. So in that beginning little bit before we hit record is like some juicy stuff often goes down.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So now we get to dive into your story. You have a very interesting, you have a great, first of all, brand. You're doing a lot and you show up a lot and you do so many different things. And I want to kind of dive into that after. But before, I kind of want to know more about your story because I don't know much about other than the Lauren that I met and like what you do now. I really want to go back into let's maybe go back to childhood. Like let's go right back because I feel like that's a good place to start. I don't always start there with people, but I feel like that's a good place to start. So why not walk us through what was it like for a young Lauren growing up? Where did you grow up? What did that look like?
Yeah, I grew up in Northern California, Sonoma County, which is kind of wine country, a lot of agriculture, pretty small town, I guess not that small comparatively, but like smallish, right? And did a lot of sports growing up, did like music classes, dance classes, all the school things, so like very involved with school, sports, like extracurriculars, all of that. When I was little, when I was little, I would just really loved animals. Like here I am with a foster puppy and my own dog. I'm like, that hasn't changed. But yeah, love animals, rode horses when I was younger. We did 4-H. My siblings and I did 4-H, which so many people, do you know what 4-H is?
No, but I want to.
Okay. I'm forgetting what the 4-H's actually stand for right now in this moment, but 4-H is basically, I forget how old it goes. It's like until the end of high school. And when you're like older, it turns into FFA, Future Farmers of America is what FFA stands for.
Oh, okay.
Like you raise animals, show them at the fair, sell them at the fair. You can also do like there's arts and crafts stuff, like home ec stuff. So it's very like, it's so funny because so many people have no, especially here in Los Angeles, have no idea what that is. I was like, I had pigs as pets and then took them to the fair and sold them. Yeah.
Wow.
So like loved animals, grew up with, you know, on like kind of in the country and not like in the middle of nowhere, but kind of in the country. So yeah, loved animals, loved being outside. I played soccer for a long time. That was my main sport growing up. Ended up getting recruited to play soccer in college and decided not to play, but still went to that same school because I loved it, a private school in Santa Barbara, a really small school. And it was like such a fun, like almost like summer camp kind of vibe. But growing up, I was always very much a high achiever, a bit of a perfectionist, like doing all the things, which like, you know, all of that is so much what I, you're like, oh, sounds familiar based on now. But all of that is so much of what I work with a lot of women, but men as well in my coaching business is like, okay, where does that like overachiever stuff, that perfectionism stuff, that like always nonstop busy, so much going on, where does that come from? And how do we like heal that, but while also not, you know, like make sure all that's coming from like the right place, if you will, right? Or a more grounded place. And for me, you know, I've a younger brother and then older sister, older brother. So it's sister, brother, me, my younger brother. My two older siblings are from my dad's first marriage, but I don't think of them any differently. Mm. And my parents did not have a healthy marriage, right? Lots of arguing, lots of fighting, lots of chaos, no physical abuse or anything like that, but just nonstop arguing.
Basically. Did they stay together? Did they stay together?
Yeah.
Well, they did.
For a long time. Yeah. Nice. Stayed together for a long time. Just officially got divorced last year.
Oh, wow.
Which it's so interesting. I mean, after being separated for a long time. But so interesting because growing up, my half-siblings, they're so much older than me and my younger brother. Like my sister's 14 years older than me. My brother is 10 years older than me. So they were out of the house, like pretty quickly, right? And so when we were little, like they were, would go back and forth to their moms and to our house, but I don't really like, I didn't grow up with them like around much. So for a lot of the time, I was like the older sibling. And so very much had that like perfectionism thing and being my mom's first child. And so for me with my parents, it was, I growing up, and it's so interesting to look back because I'm like, wow, like now, like I almost would have wished for things to be different. But when I was younger, I was like, no matter what, didn't want them to get a divorce, no matter how miserable things were, no matter how much they were fighting, no matter like all of that was like being, having divorced parents, that would be way worse than everyone being miserable and all the screaming and yelling all the time, like because of like how that would be perceived, like, which is so interesting because I had friends who had divorced parents and they were, things worked great and they were wonderful. And I loved those friends and respected them. And like, you know, but for whatever reason, for me growing up, that was like the worst thing that could possibly happen for some reason. And so, but looking back, I'm like, gosh, like there's a part of me that's like, oh, I wish they, like they weren't happy, right? So like, I wish they had done that sooner because also, right? I'm like, gosh, there's so much of that that I get to unravel now as an adult,
yeah.
You know? And so, yeah. So growing up with that a lot, like so much of that, like gave way to my being an overachiever, like go, 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 busy, busy, busy. Me like being attracted to chaos and drama and stuff like that, which is no, like those things are no longer the case, right? But like a lot of my, you know, I had self-worth issues for a really, really long time too. And so like, not to say that that's only where they came from, but like, you know, the, your home life and all of that dictates a lot. And so it's so interesting perspective as you get older, being like, especially me, you know, having gone through a divorce. And
what being, did you? I did not.
Yeah.
Know. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's great life experience.
I was married for 5 years together with my ex-husband for 10 years. I decided to end our marriage in spring 2020. So it's almost 3 years. Really close to 3 years.
Right in the middle of the action, right when the action started.
Right. It was like, right in the thick of COVID, I'm like, great, let me become single and like take on this whole brand new mortgage of the house we just bought all by myself. Oh, I can't go see friends. Like, so now I'm just all by myself. Always not like it was, and I'm an extrovert. So that was really like, I was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to be by my alone. We're going to figure that out. Right. But even that, like in my marriage, I was unhappy for a while. And we were married 5 years. Like that's not that long. I mean, so I got divorced or ended things when I was 33, which like 5 years at that point, like that's a decent amount of time for being 33 years old. But like, I cannot imagine. I'm like, gosh, like being in a marriage that is not good and that you're not happy in for 35 years. Right. Like it's like such a, like gives so much perspective of like, whoa, like of like, why the fuck did you do that? Both of you. Right. Like, you know, and I can get into like who, you know, not to pick it apart, but like, why the fuck did you do that and stay so long? Like, you know, but then also like the resilience or whatever in order to do that, like, woof.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, there's a lot there. And it's great that you're so aware about the upbringing of your parents, because I don't think most people realize like how much that impacts us, right? And there's like, there's so much there. And it's like how we relate to relationships or people. It's like whatever we were taught is normal. And, right? So it's like, you're like, wait a second. And it's crazy to think back then how like your parents, how different the time was. It was almost like shameful. It's like you can't, that's kind of tied in with the whole religion thing. I think it's like, you're married. It's a life thing. It's a lifelong thing. Otherwise, you're a failure. I'm glad it's changed nowadays. I'm glad it's not like that, because I think there was a lot of pressure on parents, you know, especially from other parents. Like,
yeah. And even the like, and, you know, not, it's not criticism to either of my parents. Like, they did what they felt like was right. Like,
yeah, totally.
I wasn't in their shoes, you know? But even the like, oh, we stayed together for you kids. And then it's like, don't put that on me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, and I understand the reasoning behind that and why parents do that. Right. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
And like, don't think it could have been better to have like be apart and happier, you know, and even with that, right, the subconscious thing there, the message that's being said, it's like, oh, your unhappiness then is like part of my responsibility, which is like on a conscious level is not what you're thinking, right? But on a subconscious level, it's like, oh, well then like, and this is where so much of my like perfectionism, overachieving stuff came from in a lot of ways, is like, oh, well, you know, like don't rock the boat. Don't do anything wrong, because we don't want to give another reason for like any sort of chaos or arguing. So like do everything and do everything perfectly.
Oh,
right. And then also like when I was older and like, oh, like, you know, would have those kind of conversations with my mom more, because I was always closer to my mom and would have more conversations with her about this kind of stuff. But, and even so that like being, you know, even talking about it, I'm like consciously, I'm not thinking like this is any of my responsibility, but subconsciously it does give that message of like, oh, that I'm staying in this shit situation because of you. Right. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so not only does that put pressure on, but like teaches your children, right? Excuse me, like, oh, stick it out no matter what, right? No matter what sort of thing. So a lot of like personal development and like self-awareness journey can be such a mindfuck sometimes.
It's messy. It's messy. Oh,
yeah. And
it's beautiful, right? Like, it's beautiful to uncover the stuff, like just to have the awareness around it. And you mentioned something earlier that I wrote down that I want to talk about. And I think it's such a thing that it's so common. And I had to realize this within myself, even within the last year, is this self-worth thing. This like, the self-worth issue. This like, who am I? I'm not enough. Or I think it looks different for everybody, right?
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because when you see people, you think there's no way that they feel that way. Like, there's no way. Like, I must be like a freak or a weirdo or something to think like this. And you start to realize, you're like, wow, okay. You're like that too. Okay. You're like that too. And I, you know, because for the longest time, like, was having that feeling and I didn't know what it really was. And it's like, I think, and I want to dive in and ask you about this, but it's like, you start achieving things. You get to the thing and you're like, oh, I don't feel that different. Yeah, it was great. And then you achieve something else and you're like, I thought I was supposed to feel like I got somewhere else. Like, I thought I was supposed to get this, like, I've arrived. Now I'm ready to do the thing that I, you know, and it's not like that sometimes. It's like, you have to feel that in the moment. You have to be that now. So I'm curious as to like, what does that look like for you and where do you think it came from? I would love to unpack that.
Yeah. Oh, we're getting it. I love this. Getting into it nice and early on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So my worthiness stuff and the self-worth thing for me is still the most persistent limiting belief that I get to dance with from time to time. So much less. And it looks so different now and usually isn't really a thing, but sometimes it can be. Yeah, it can be sneak back in there. We get real sneaky. So I'm like, oh, we're doing life together. Got it. Because like also with that achiever stuff as well, I'm like, oh, I figured out that I have an issue with self-worth. Let's work on it. And then you feel like you cross it off the list and then it'll creep back in. And at least for me, creep back in a new way or a more creative way or a sneakier way. And I'm like, you again?
Yeah.
Here, right? And so for me, and again, like very much goes back to parents on a conscious level or even verbally, like was never like told, like this stuff wasn't ever like said or anything, right? But it's stuff that you pick up on based on actions, behaviors, subconscious stuff. And so for me growing up, like it's not like perfection was expected, but like A's were expected. And if you didn't get an A, then there would be a conversation. Hey, what happened? Why da 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 da? Instead of like the celebration of straight A's. And sports as well. Like not so much my mom, but my dad was that parent on the sidelines, like of soccer games, screaming if I made a mistake. Screaming. Yeah. And so I'm like, so that kind of stuff is like, oh, don't fuck up, right? Like, don't do anything wrong because, and it, again, not consciously stated in any way. Like, and I, if you had asked me or on a conscious level, I'm like, oh, my, yes, of course my parents love me and they don't love me less if I like have a bad soccer game or if I like get a B, right? They don't love me less. I wouldn't have thought that, but there was a very clear program running of like, you get treated badly, quote unquote, right? Like you don't, you're not going to get like treated as kindly or whatever it is if you don't do well and perform well.
Yes.
And so that can very easily get translated in your subconscious as like, oh, I'm not loved as much if I don't perform well, right? So like perform well equals love, equals praise, equals keeping everyone happy. Even though that's not communicated, right? Like my parents told us they loved us so much, like all of that, that we're like amazing, smart, like you name it. And so it's so sneaky because it's not like parents are like saying that stuff like, oh, well, I don't like you as much because you didn't do well. Right? Like that's not how it happens. It's very subtle. And so that's where a lot of mine came from is that like sports, school, how I look as well. So getting attention, like since I can remember, since I was very, very little for being pretty, right? And so that as well of like created a kind of complicated thing of like, oh, well, I also need to prove that I'm not just pretty. I'm also smart. I'm also good at sports. I'm also this and this and this and this and this, right? Yeah. So like putting my worst outside of myself too, because the like a lot of the attention that I would get as just me was the like more superficial look stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of like who I be. So all of that created like a really fun angle of worthiness stuff. And the big kicker for me in starting to heal that because like, well, I'll continue with my first thought. The when I really started to heal all of that was I was running my own business. So I own a PR agency that I've been running for several years now. That was my first business. So PR agency, I also do coaching and speaking, and then I do some real estate stuff as well. And of course, I'm going to be starting another business this year.
Crushing because, it. Like, absolutely crushing it.
Why not? And I was like, how long? It was 2018. So I was about 3 years into working for myself. And while I had gotten my money to like just about match what I'd been making at my last job and like was doing well and it was working, I was exhausted, like spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. I felt like I had no room in my schedule, in my bank account, like in my like, you know, internally, no room. Like it was go, 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 nonstop, busy, 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 busy. And when I was working for the last PR agency that I worked for before I started working for myself, which was a kind of a startup agency. We grew from, I was the seventh employee hired. And by the time I left 4 years later, we had two offices and about 40 employees. And so we grew very, very fast. And there was always, we were working like 60 to 80 hours a week, crisis PR, very high stress. And so when I, but So with that, it was very easy when I was working there to blame the work-life balance or lack of work-life balance on the company, my boss, the president of the company, right? Like, oh, well, I have to because they're telling me to, so I have to, right? Like that sort of thing. But then when I was working for myself and I was the boss and in charge of everything, and then I was seeing that I was working in a very similar way, nonstop, never-ending to-do list, all this, I'm like, oh, fuck, I might be the problem because this feels a lot like when I was working for somebody else, but I'm the boss. So there's really nobody I can blame. Like, I can't put myself in a victim position here. Like, I'm doing this to me. So like, it's a me problem. And so I realized that there was like a heart and soul rewiring that needed to happen. And I was talking to one of my girlfriends who is in the coaching space, like very big, big sister kind of energy for to me. And we were talking about things, and I had never even, this is 2018. I didn't even like know what self-worth was. And we're talking and she's like, I think there's like a opportunity for you to work on your self-worth. Like, I think that's what's going on. You're feeling so depleted, exhausted, like unfulfilled in a sense. The money, you know, I felt like the money wasn't matching the amount of time and energy that I was putting in. And I'm like, I can't work more. So like, how do I make more money? Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm just must be bad at this. Right. And so she's like, I think there's a self-worth thing going on. And I thought that that was like the same as confidence. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm so confident. Like, nobody would say that I'm not a confident person. Like, what do you mean? And she's like, no. That's kind of different. Like, she's like, so what if, Lauren, tomorrow I told you that you cannot work, you have to sit at home on the couch and watch Netflix all day long. You can't work at all. And at this point, I was taking maybe a half day off on the weekends. I was also married at this point, so I was like neglecting my relationship. Like, right, I was such a workaholic. And she's like, okay, tomorrow you only can watch Netflix all day long. You cannot work at all. How would that make you feel? And I was like, ugh, worthless. She's like, I didn't laugh. I'm laughing at myself right now. She was like, oh, interesting word you just used. I was like, fuck you. Fuck. Okay, whatever. Mm. Right. And I ended up, and she was fucking encouraging me to do this program called Ascension Leadership Academy, which is a emotional intelligence leadership training. It's very similar to like Landmark. TT is here in Los Angeles. And so I was like, all right, fine. I'll do it. Like, what is this self-worth stuff? Fine. Let's do it. Right. And so did that program. It was one of the most transformational things I've ever done for myself, business, personal life, you name it. And where I really started to heal that overachiever stuff, perfectionism stuff, self-worth stuff, right? The self-worth is under all of it.
Yeah.
And learn how to, like, how I can still be a high achiever, super driven, all of that, but have it come from such a different place. So instead of coming from a place of like, I need to do this, otherwise I am a worthless piece of shit human being, right? Like that's where it used to be coming from, which is like a black hole. Like there will never be enough to fill that up. It's like, oh wait, no, like I'm just as incredible, whether I have like zero money in my bank account or like a fuck ton, right? I'm just as amazing, whether I have this many clients or this many, or like if I'm my own boss or working for someone else. Like, so really anchoring that worthiness in myself, not stuff that is outside of me, and being able to then do the like super productive and like go, like being able to still access that, but in such a healthier, more balanced way.
So what you're saying is like, you can still do all the things, but you're doing it from a place of like passion and creation, not for like validation or like approval from people or others. It's like, it's coming from like this place of like showing up from your truth and just birthing whatever it is and just showing up, instead of like, I need to work this to like prove that I'm worthy when I hit that thing or impress that person or that, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. And that doesn't mean like, you know, if I have like a lower money month or things feel hard or whatever is going on, right? If I feel like the results in my life are not where they quote unquote should be, then I'm not then making it, oh, I'm bad or I'm not good enough or dumb or whatever it is. I'm not doing that. I will look at that stuff as feedback, right? It's not like I just ignore what's happening, the results and things that are going on. It's not like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, interesting. Okay. So who was I being? Like, how did I show up and what actions did I take to create this situation that I'm in right now? Okay. Got it. Interesting. Good data. Now, if that's not what I want, who do I get to be and what actions do I get to take to change the outcome?
Right.
Instead of like adding all this shame on top of it, just taking it as data. And like, I'll say, it's not like I have it 100% figured out. There are some times when I'm like, you know, of course that little like voice is like, see,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, hey, Patch, yeah. Get out of here. But yeah, having it be grounded in a much different place.
Do you think, so this is interesting because we live in a world where everybody, there's a lot of entitlement and it's like participation trophies, yes, and all this kind of bullshit. And my story is just like yours. You know, I was playing hockey and I always felt like my dad, I only got love when I did well in sports. Otherwise I was like silent treatment the way home. And I like, that was what it was like in school too. And it was always this feeling of like, I need to perform to get my dad's approval. And I look at it now as that's very conditional love. He didn't mean to do that. I don't think our parents mean to do that. But on the other side of the argument, I don't know what I would have been like, and I'm curious if he didn't push me to the standards to hold, like, because that being that way allowed me to like achieve things in sports. As an athlete, you need to perform,
right,
at a level. Like you have to.
Right.
And part of that is, well, really good, right? Like part of, yeah, that is like teaching, but I think it's a balance. It's in, and I think the way people coach now is different. It's not as much fear-based, like do this or you're going to run lines for the rest of the day. It's, yeah, like, you know, why it's like the end result of like what you're doing and what it's going to produce from you showing up, but it's not like this like fear-based thing. And now I look back and I'll turn it over to you is like, what would your life have looked like if they were just like, whatever, just do whatever you want, right? Like,
yeah,
when you think like, would you have achieved, been as driven as you are now, right? So it's like,
yeah, oh, absolutely. I've thought about that a ton. And I do think like, I think there is a place for firmness, yeah, and anger even, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not, and I don't, shit, I don't, kids, like, I don't,
totally
all the answers to this, right?
Yeah.
But so with that stuff, it's like, I think the difference between, and you said it, instead of fear, right? Like, because that's very much like very, very similar. I can relate to that a lot. It was like, you know, afraid of dad, right? Like, don't, yeah, piss dad off. Don't do something like, right? Yeah. Like 0 to 100 over anything.
Yeah.
And I do think, right? Like, yeah, that fear of disappointing parents, the fear of getting yelled at, that kind of stuff, of course, made me better at so many things. Absolutely. And I think there is a way to do that grounded in respect and discipline and consequences, not, yeah, fear and like anger.
Yeah.
You know, like those things, like, you know, instead of like, okay, silent treatment if you don't win the game or if you mess up during the game, instead of that being like, okay, well, like, hey, so is, you know, having more of a conversation. Hey, did that go how you wanted? No. Okay, what do you think you could have done differently? Great. So then do you want to have a schedule then to go practice and get better so that next game you don't feel like that, right? Like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because yeah, same thing with my dad, which, you know, like be set, like I love my dad and like very low emotional intelligence. And so it's like when your parent is seeing you as an extension of themselves, right? Like,
yeah,
why is my parent having such an emotional reaction to their child who's like not even in high school, like messing up in a sports game, right? Like that shouldn't ruin their day.
Totally.
As an adult parent, right? To the point where they're like not talking to their 11-year-old.
It's wild. It's because like, it feels like they're living through you. That's something they didn't get to do.
Yes. Yes. And taking it as a reflection of them.
Yes.
Whereas if you take a step back, it's like, just have like a, yeah, you can be disappointed and express that without like being emotionally abusive, you know? Yes. And so, yeah, so it's tricky because I don't know, you know, like there are many things where I'm like, oh, I can see how in relationships, if that wasn't my model,
yeah,
things would have looked very differently in a lot of my relationships. Thankfully, my ex-husband, like he and I, interestingly enough, have very similar parents. Very similar parents. And yeah. And since then, I've also been in a couple abusive relationships as a result where I was like, oh, yeah. Like, and where like my model is like, oh, it's okay if like the person, like you want to be the one that fixes them and like solves their problems and comes and helps and is the thing that changes them for the better. Fuck that shit, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, so there are a lot of ways where I can see like, oh, if that wasn't my like deep, 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 deep program, I don't know that I would have like gone through that experience, or I would have been attracted to that person and that dynamic, or I don't know that I would have stayed in that relationship as long as I did or whatever, right? And so those sorts of things I sometimes wonder, even like I'm real right now, I'm 36 years old, I would like to have a partner and a family and all of that. And so there are times for sure when I'm like being hard on myself, when I'm like, well, if you had just like done this healing stuff sooner, like all of that would be in your life right now. Or like, well, it's like, if mom and dad had split up sooner and like you didn't have like your entire life like watching that as your model, like maybe you wouldn't have made those choices and gone through a divorce and gone through this and da-da-da-da-da, right? Like we can play that game so much. And like, sure, many other things could have happened. Like there's infinite timelines that my soul could have chosen and it didn't. It chose this path and this is where we're at and I can't fucking change what has happened before. So like,
yeah,
whatever, right? And what's to say those other directions would have been better, you know? Like,
exactly.
Who knows? Like, who knows? And so really, like, and for the most part, like, yeah, there are times when I'm like, oh, like, if only things had been different, like, I can go into that victim place just quickly. And, but then I snap out of it very fast. So like, but it didn't.
Yeah.
We are here right now. And all I can control is like what I'm doing in this actual moment. And there we go. And like, I fucking love my life. I love my life. Has it gone exactly how I thought? No. But like, has anyone? Probably not. Right?
No, but you said...
And there have been things that have been more amazing than I expected and things that haven't, you know?
Totally. You said something there that was very important that I want to highlight for everybody is that you say that, because most people do this, something happens, it's normal to go into victim mode short, like for a minute. Like we're human, right? Yeah. You're going to fucking... Why the fuck is this happening? But it's like, that is the magic is right there, is that you identify and you know that, okay, it's okay to be here for a second, but I ain't staying here. And it's your bounce back rate. And you're like, okay, that's the difference. And I think that's the difference between so many people, even in business, in relationships, in life, it's like they dwell, they stay in that victim, and then it goes down to, they go down the hole. And it becomes, you start to become that and you start to see victim mentality everywhere. And it's fucking toxic. And it's normal to be there for a second.
It's so normal.
But you're like, you bounce back and you're like, okay, because you know that doesn't serve you, right? And I think that's a great message for everybody, is to remember that. Is like, it's normal to feel that, but it's like, you don't want to sit in that for too long. You want to like get back into the driver's seat of your life and just kind of go, okay, right? that right there is a difference between a lot of people. It's mm-hmm. a major
and like, yeah, and like culturally in with society, we have I think it's like epidemic of victim mentality and like that being rewarded, right? And I would say too with that is yes, the bounce back, right? Because yeah, you're human. We have an ego, and that ego, like, so that. That's not like, don't beat yourself up. You're like, why did this happen to me? Like, this sucks. Like, this, it feels unfair, right? Like that, you can feel that.
It's all valid. Right?
It's not, it's all valid. But then exactly how you said, don't stay there.
Yeah.
Right. Don't stay parked there. And there is this balance because I think it can be really, really easy in the personal development world, in the healing world, in the self-awareness world, right? And when you know these things really well, it can be really easy to like almost toxic positivity your way out of it, or even like self-awareness, mindfuck yourself, right? Where like you're feeling shitty feelings that you don't want to feel and then making yourself wrong for them. Well, like, don't be a victim, stop feeling that way. And then that doesn't help either. It's like—
totally.
You know what? If you're like, hey, this is how I'm feeling and I might feel this way today, so I'm just going to let myself feel sad and cry all day and say, if I need all day to say, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Then I'm going to let myself do that for the day.
Yeah.
But then tomorrow tonight, I'm going to call a friend for some support to talk it out, to maybe get some guidance. And then I'm going to actually, like, when I'm not feeling in the thick of these emotions, you know, or, and maybe like, okay, go do things that will help you shift, move your body, take a nap, take a bath, get a massage, like something that will help you release some of that stagnant energy, and then be committed to, okay, once I feel like I've moved some of these emotions through and I've been present with these emotions, because if you don't be with them, right, if you're making yourself wrong for the emotions that you're feeling and you don't give them the respect they deserve, they're going to figure out how to show up another way, right? Yeah. Sometimes bigger and worse. They're like, oh, you don't want to be with this sadness right now? You don't want to give us a little cry because you're feeling sorry for yourself? Okay, tomorrow we're going to schedule a panic attack for you instead, right? Like that's sometimes how it'll show up instead. And so it's like, give yourself the time to be with whatever you need to be with and then be like, okay, you know what? I'm going to give myself an hour. I'm going to give myself 5 minutes. I'm going to give myself the rest of the day. And then tomorrow, when I am in a better headspace or when I feel a little bit more grounded and centered, I'm going to actually look at, okay, why did this come into my life? Why did I attract this situation into my life? What did I learn from this? Why did my soul opt in yes for this experience? Like, what did we learn? And for me, a lot of the time, like one, I will do that. I'll try not to do it like when I'm in the thick of it, which I used to, right? The brain. I used to be so in my masculine energy that it's like the brain is trying to make sense of all the feelings. Like, no, like if this is how we're feeling today or for this hour, just feel it, you know? And so for me too, what's helpful there is like, I feel really clear on my purpose and like what I'm here on this planet to do. And so knowing that, it makes it easier to look at shitty things, not fun things, those like really tough learning lessons and be like, okay, if this is my purpose, then like, how does this make me better and more effective at bringing that vision to life and being the person that I'm supposed to be, right? Or why did my soul choose to learn this lesson this way? Like even the recurring ones, like, cause I've had a lot of really tough lessons around like the narcissism wound and the self-worth stuff. And I'm like, why, you know, and that was like so much of my 2022 was healing that like deep, 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 like generational stuff within me. And it's like, okay, like what, like, and looking at why the fuck did I need to learn this again that way or again this way? Like why, what is the piece that's still, you know, like, why is this still coming up? And doing a lot of like deep inner work around like, okay, let's take a closer look at this. Yeah. And so like you said, like putting myself in the place of power, like why did my soul, not like blaming yourself for it, but like, why did my soul choose to do this? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Everything my soul's up to.
Yeah. I don't think we can even comprehend it.
So yeah.
Let's dive into that a little bit. So when you're working through something, How do you, like, at what point do you know that you've kind of moved through it or healed it? Like, you know, I think it's like this weird thing where people are addicted to healing too. Like, I've been part of communities where it's like, they always, it's like they're trauma bonding over their constant healing. It's like, fuck, sometimes like you need to have a North Star and shift it. You need to like stop focusing all the time on that, you know, like, so I guess, but it's hard because everybody has their own unique experience. But I guess like my question for you is like, when you're going through it and you're unpacking and peel layers, when do you know that you've actually made progress in the healing? Like, what shows up? Like, how? Because I've thought about that too. I'm like, 4 years ago, I was a different person. Yet I'm the same person. But how I see life is different. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. Like, I can't quantify it. You know?
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, a few things there with like the addiction to healing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. There's a like, and I think that comes from a, like, can come from a self-worth type of conversation. Oh, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not healed enough. I'm not da, 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 da. Oh, and like blaming everything on like everything that's not going exactly how you want on some like internal unhealed thing, which like, okay, may or may not be true, right? But like, that's a really easy way to then like think that you're fucked up all the time, right?
Yeah.
And, like, nobody is 100% healed of all their stuff.
No.
No one is. And no one, you never will be.
No.
Sorry. Spoiler alert. Like, yeah. It's a healing journey. It's a process. Right. And so, and I think too with the, getting out of that loop of like constant, like, what's the next thing I need to do to heal? Next thing I need to heal. Next thing I need to heal. You can become addicted to that.
Yeah.
And then avoid actually like being and actually like living your life. Mm. Right. And get in this loop of like nonstop healing. Well, I'm not ready yet. Right. And it's kind of goes to that, like, you like people who will do a ton of courses nonstop, ton of courses and do that. And then never like launch the thing that they are preparing to launch. Oh, it's not quite ready. It's like, what are you scared of? Right. Like, you can be effective in the world and be doing your stuff as the imperfect version of you, as the unhealed version of you. Because again, like I said, you're not going to come to one day have it all figured out, right? There's going to be new stuff that happens.
Yeah.
And so that, like, giving yourself some grace of being like, oh, I'm never going to necessarily have every single thing perfectly healed or every single thing perfectly figured out. And so trying to do that is kind of pointless, right? Yeah. But improving and making progress for sure. And I think there are things that you can heal like once and for all and it never be an issue anymore. And some of them may stay with you longer and like you may be in like a like ride or die kind of relationship. It just evolves and looks different over time. For me, how to know that I am making progress and healing, and that's such a good question, a few things. One, the results in my life start to look different. So because I very much live my life and believe in like the concept of be, do, have. So like, if you want to have something in your life, and I used to operate when I was stuck in my masculine, all of that used to operate like do, have, be. So the way things work, like manifestation, magnetism, all that kind of stuff. If you want to have anything in your life, you have to be the person that has that. So you step into the ways of being, you think like, feel like that person, and then you do the kinds of actions that that person would do. And then the results are going to fall in place. I used to like try and do my way into having so that I could, oh, if I just work my ass off nonstop, I'll have enough money and then I'll finally be able to be calmer and less stressed. No, I'm just going to be busier and have more money and be stressed, right? And so so for me, because that's now how I operate, if my results are shifting, whether that's my friendships, my business opportunities, my money situation, my dating situation, my whatever it looks like, if what I have is shifting more in the direction of what I desire and what my vision is, then I'm like, oh, then we must be making the shifts internally, right? In the being piece, because like the results are trending the right way, or not right or wrong, but trending the way that I want them to. So that's one thing, is like taking a look at my results, which again, like puts us kind of back into that initial conversation, but it's not the worth, right? I'm not putting my worth on those results. It's like, what's the feedback?
Yeah, like what's like, created from how you've been showing up, what's showing up in your life from that?
Yeah, it's like what feedback am I getting from the universe and the external world based on how I'm showing up?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. I also know that I'm making progress based on my self-talk. Like I just had this conversation a few days ago with my own coach. I was going to send a proposal to, or have a sales call essentially with a current client of mine, a current client who's in a program of mine, who wants to hire me as a one-on-one coach instead of just being in one of my programs. And I'm talking to my coach and as I'm doing that, I'm prepping for this call. I'm thinking, like, my brain is like, you know, maybe you should lower your pricing for her. Maybe you should lower your pricing for her, for your one-on-one services. Out of nowhere, there was no, like, and I'm like, why? And so that was coming up for me, and I'm hearing like my ego or whatever, like saying this, maybe you should lower your prices, like lower it, because otherwise she's not gonna want to do coach with you. And I very quickly, like my higher self, right? Authentic self was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why? Right? Like, so me also noticing my inner dialogue and how quickly, like, one, noticing if those kind of things pop up anymore, right? And if they do, noticing how quickly I shift them. And so that like happened. Maybe you should lower your prices. Maybe you should lower prices. And I was like, what is going on? Where is this even coming from? And then like other voices like, no, what are you talking about? This person has never given you any indication of any financial strain. If anything, she said that money is not an issue for her. Why the fuck would you, what are you doing? Why are you self-sabotaging by thinking you should lower pricing for her? You wouldn't do that for anyone else. Why are you thinking like what? So it was so interesting to me to see that. Wow. And the shift was like how quickly like higher self, like grounded voice, competent voice, whatever, stepped in and was like, sit down, hush, get out of here with that. And so that sort of thing too, paying attention to inner dialogue and just inner dialogue in general, paying attention to my level of, I'd say calm and stress too. I used to be very stressed. Like stress was like my baseline. Used to have chronic anxiety, all of that. And now when I feel anxiety, it's unusual, right? So that's, and which is a great shift. So noticing how my body is responding and like how, like physiologically what's going on too. And is my baseline calm, grounded, feeling spacious and all of that? Or is my baseline feeling anxious? And so like the more that my baseline feels so, so good, that's another way that I know for me that I'm making progress and like in a much better state too.
I love that. That was so good. That's so helpful. People love that. That's such, it's so good to, because sometimes I don't know if people even really think about that. Right. And it's like, how can you quantify how your life is changing? And that's a beautiful way to put it. That'll kind of segue into the next thing, is that you talk about being magnetic. Sorry, I can't speak. And one of your programs is like, stop chasing, start attracting, manifestation. I would love for you to just kind of in three, like, what does it mean to be magnetic? Can you give us a breakdown of like three steps to becoming magnetic?
Sure. Such a good question. Okay. So that program, Magnetic, is very much the be, do, have framework. It's not completely, it's several things, because I do actually have a whole program. Oh no, that is, sorry. I'm like, I renamed that program. So that is a deep dive into the be, do, have framework.
Okay.
And so what I said already, right? Like often, you know, becoming magnetic is reverse engineering what those goals are. Like, okay. Oh, I want is this the outcome that I want? And this is like one step, and this is the very like analytical step, like right. way of thinking about it. Okay, this is the outcome that I want, right? Then, and not going to the do, right? The do is important. The actions are important, right? One of the things with manifestation, I'm going to do a little tangent right now. One of the things with manifestation and magnetism that people often miss or like a misconception about it is that like, oh, if I just like it for a while, things are just supposed to come into my life. No, no, you also do have to take action. Like you do. That's a necessary piece, right? Like, and so with the be do have framework, it's like, okay, I'm looking at my like little vision board over here. I'm like, what do I want? Okay, if I want to like make a certain amount of money or like have that dope ass car that's on my vision board, like, okay, what version of me in the being piece has that car, right? What version of me feels worthy? And like, that's an easy one, or has that money or has the relationship? What version of me feels worthy of that? What version of me has the abundance to buy that, right? Okay. Does that version of me pay? Oh, this is a good one for me right now. Pay her gardener late. Forget to pay her gardener for like 2 months. And then he's like, hey, you owe me for 3 months of gardening, which is a very small bill. It's a very small bill. I'm bad at checking my mail. And he puts it in the mail. And all of a sudden he's like, oh, fuck, I haven't checked my mail. Like, you know, like that sort of thing. But does the version of me who drives a $100,000 car, is she paying her gardener, who's like, what, $150 a month? Is she paying her gardener for like all the hard work that he does every week late? No, she is not, right? Like she is a woman of her word, of integrity, on time. And if she wants to get paid on time by people, then that's how she shows up in the world too, with integrity. So the doing piece, right? Because you like, okay, what is the version of me that has that fucking dope ass G-Wagon up there? What's the version of me that had that? She pays her bills on time and in integrity because that's how she wants to be treated as well. And so the action then is really easy to figure out what the necessary action is to take. And the actions may shift over time, right? But it's like, oh, does that version of me who has all these things that I desire or the relationship or the money, whatever it is, like, is she forgetting to pay like a really minor bill like that on time? Is she disrespecting her gardener in that way? No, she's not. So fuck, like even little things like that, it's like, okay, no, she's not. Then what do I need to do? Put a reminder in my calendar, put an auto payment every month. Like, what do I need to do to get more like in alignment and in integrity so that I can become more, you know, so that I can have the set. So that was kind of a long way of saying it, but I'm going to give a couple more ways. So one is reverse engineering what you desire and going back to like, okay, who do I get to be? Okay, then if that's the version of me that I am, what actions does that version of me take? Pays that fucking bill on time every month. Doesn't forget about it, right? So that's one thing, reverse engineer. Another thing is alignment. So magnetism works on alignment. And you can think about it this way. So alignment is similar to be to have framework. It's like, okay, do your thoughts, feelings, and actions align with the results that you want to have in your life, right? And whatever is not who you want to be or become, get the fuck out of there, right? And then be like, step into who you are choosing to be. And so alignment, right? If you think about it, all of those things in like a straight line, if you will. But thinking about like a shopping cart, for example, you're pushing a shopping cart, it's got four wheels, you know, like moving smoothly along. Every once in a while, you get one of those shopping carts that has a bum, janky wheel that's like rattling all over and like it's going to make the thing turn like just harder to push and to like move through the grocery store. So it's going to take you a bit more effort to keep that thing straight and keep that thing moving. And if we think about alignment that way, as like if something's out of alignment. So for me, for example, in my marriage was not in alignment for me anymore. And at the time when I decided to end it. And even before then, my marriage was not in alignment, right? So I had something in my life, like that busted wheel, right, that was taking a lot more energy to keep everything in track and everything focused and moving in the direction I wanted to go in. Now, if you just fix that wheel, right, everything is going to move smoothly. And so I'm not saying like, you know, like a marriage is a big thing, but there can be small things that are out of alignment, right? If you're like, oh, I really want to like stop smoking weed and you keep smoking weed all the time, or I really want to only do it this many times a week and you're not following through on that, that's out of alignment for what you're committed to yourself. And so that's taking energy away from you, right? And lowering your magnetism. And so if you think about like when you're in alignment, like all your energy, and if you can see the video, right? Like I'm like spinning my hands, like all in the same direction, right? And so if you're, when you're in alignment, your electromagnetic force is able to get to like a really rapid rate, like spin faster and faster and faster, and therefore like actually become more magnetic in that sense. When something is out of alignment, it's going to like throw that spin off, like, you know, fall over, topple, whatever. And then it's going to take a little bit more effort and, oh shit, we just got off track, out of alignment. Like, okay, we got to build that momentum up again. And then you got to get back into alignment, get that speed up again. And so anytime there's stuff that's out of alignment, it's leaking energy, or it's like throwing a, you know, like a thing into the wheel, kinking that wheel. And so alignment is a massive, massive way to become more magnetic, because your frequency, your vibration is going to be able to keep spinning faster and faster and becoming like actually more magnetic in that sense and generating more force towards you. Another way to become more magnetic is to be fully self-expressed. Be fully self-expressed, like so freaking unapologetically you, and owning it, showing up in the world in that way, because not only like when you're unapologetically you, you're aligned, right? Like this is who I am. This is so me. I'm so in alignment and so like in ownership of every, all of who I am, like the good quote unquote and the bad quote unquote, like I'm so owning who I am and showing up with that. Like when you're owning who you are, that's one level of alignment. But when you're owning it in a way that tells the world, hey, this is me, I'm going to show up so fully me because I own every part of me, that gives other people permission to do that, right? That becomes more magnetic too, because that level of authenticity, people gravitate toward that. So living in the world, being in the world as the most fully expressed version of you also ups your magnetism level, because you're like turning up the, cranking up the volume on your you-ness, right? And you're, and by being fully you in how you show up, whether it's in personal interaction, social media, you name it, being fully you is just one more level of ownership of your own alignment. Like you're like, no, I'm like, yes, I'm aligned, but I own it so much that I will put it out there in the world for everyone to see too.
So good. So much. You're so good at expressing that. You do show up like
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
There's a question that came up when you were saying that regarding like social media and like being unapologetically you and just showing up. How does somebody listening know that it's actually them showing up versus like seeing somebody else show up? And when you see them getting results, you think you need to be that way. Because the way social media is, even myself, I see people in the similar space as me talking about things, talking about polarizing topics, talking about things, and I see them getting major, major traction on videos and followers. And I'm like, well, maybe I should be doing that. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, but is that true to me? I may not be getting as much of this, but I'm like, so this is the dance even within myself. And I think people out there listening are kind of like probably the same. And maybe you're the same too. It's like, how do we know if we're showing up for ourselves? And like, what does that look like versus like a regurgitated version of, let's say, you know, for me, like, you know, Aubrey Marcus, or like, you know, there's the Lewis Howes. There's all these people, these people that it's like you see them as like this benchmark. And then you like, you don't know, like, or even somebody that's like, you know, more of the, you know, more of the like the Frisella style of like, and then you start to see all these different versions of people showing up and getting this. And you're like, wait a second, like, how do I distill it down so that I show up from what's true to me and then be okay with the results? I know it was a long question, but you see what I'm getting at here?
Such a good question. And so three things with this that I'm going to talk about. Your values, where the action or activity or whatever is coming from. And I'll go into each of these, but I don't want to forget them. And then the third is like seeing what, like testing things out too. Yeah. So number one is getting clear on what your values are, right? And also all of that to say, because like when I say be unapologetically yourself, that I'm not meaning be and show every single thing about you and your life on social media. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like there is so much about me and my life that does not go on social media and will not go on social media yet and stuff. So I'm very clear on like, what is my social media brand and what do I want to share there and what is not and what is precious to me, my friends, my family, my life, like that sort of thing, and gets to be just for me, right? And to me, that's not being inauthentic. It's being intentional. Like I'm on social media to run a business, right? And to build a brand. And so being clear, like, okay, like what makes sense to like, what parts of my like personal life, like feel in alignment to share on social media, right? And so being clear, like what's kind of part of your brand and what's not, and what things are, like, do you want to share more publicly, that sort of thing, if we're talking social, but then being really clear on your values, right? So for example, somebody might be, So clear on what your values are, right? Like for me, like freedom, fun, choice, integrity, self-expression, just a few. And so if I'm going to share something and it doesn't align with what my values are, then that might, I may think twice about sharing that, right? Like right. I may have something really like sassy and kind of bitchy to say and like a little snarky. And like, I'm not against like being a little spicy on social media, but if I'm like, okay, like, am I saying like, does that align with the person that I want to be? Right. Again, I'm not perfect. I have my moments of like shit talking and stuff like that. But like, okay, if I share this, like, is that who I want to be? Not who I want to be seen as, but is that who I want to be? Right.
Because yeah. Or get
that in the world.
Or get that validation. Because if you said something, you may polarize and you may very well get more views, but it's not actually aligned with who you are.
Right. Right. And so making sure whatever I'm putting out there is in align with my values. Number two is, why am I saying this? Right. And so that also, like, because it could be in align with your values, but be coming from a place of like, oh, am I saying this to try and prove myself? Am I saying this to look cool? Am I saying this because so-and-so just posted something like this and I feel like I should too? Right. Like, so that sort of thing. Where is it coming from? Right. And if there's like, if it's like weird energy, then maybe not. And then the third thing is like trying things out. Because that doesn't mean like, oh, only do the things that you've only ever done, right? You may see somebody posting in a certain way or doing a certain thing or whatever, sharing in a certain way. And you're like, oh, that looks interesting, right? I'm going to try that and see how that feels for me and see how it feels for my audience. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're being inauthentic, right? And trying to be somebody else, but it could just be like, oh, that's an interesting way of like creating content or sharing stories or doing a reel that I hadn't thought of. I want to see how it feels. And you may do it and then be like, I didn't really like that. Cool. I'm not going to do it that way anymore. Or like, oh, my audience didn't really like that. Okay. Noted. Or be like, whoa, that was, I really enjoyed that. I like that. I'm going to try that. Right. So it's kind of a balance, like a mix of your values, like where it's coming from, because that was used to be one for me. I'm like, oh, this fits with my brand and my message and where it's like all that. But I'm like, oh, but I'm doing it because I feel like it's going to look cool, or I feel like I'm feeling shitty and I feel like that'll make me feel better or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right. Or like, I want attention and that's why I'm doing this. Like, maybe
you're like,
be with that
emotional
first.
You're like, yeah, I want to react. I want to post this because I want to react.
Exactly. And it can be like, I mean, shit, because there's like political stuff that I'm like, fuck, I'll tell, like, fuck this, like, what the hell? And like, want to post them, like, is this my brand? Like, not really, like, sure, about free speech stuff, freedom, liberty, like that sort of thing. But I'm like, there's certain things that's like not what my platform is for. And so like have that in private conversations, you know, but then also like trying things too that you're like, oh, that looks cool. Like, let me see if like, you know, that you get inspired by somebody else, try it out. And if it's like, you know,
it's good because I think a lot of people struggle with it. A lot of people don't know even who they are, like who they're talking to. And like, it's just a big mashup of other people.
And it's so easy to. Yes. And it's so easy to do that and to do it kind of subconsciously too, because if you're consuming a lot of content from other people, it can be very easy to then feel like, you know, be confused about what you're quote unquote supposed to do, or feel like, oh, I should do it this way, or then say something you're like, that sounded too familiar or whatever. So even that, like, I've actually had this like urge lately, which maybe I should do it to like, I don't think I will, because I do like on Instagram, I like to like use it to a certain extent to stay connected with people. But I have a big intention this year to be less and less on social media. Like, I just passed my DMs off to my assistant and stuff like that. So they just send me what like I need to respond to directly. But I've had this urge to like unfollow every single person I follow so that I don't have all this like stimulation coming in.
Yeah.
You know? Because even if it's stuff I like and I enjoy, right? Like, our brains are not really meant to take in that much stimulation that fast.
Yeah.
Right? Like, in a 5-minute scroll, the number of random shit that you could be hearing that you may not want to hear, but like, oh, there, it's in my feed. Yeah. So I've had that urge, like, to eliminate any, which... for many reasons, from an attention standpoint, from a like subconscious standpoint, but then also so that my authentic voice can come through even more, because it's not being influenced by anything. And something like, well, but don't you need to learn? Don't you need inspiration? I'm like, no, actually.
No.
When I want to learn something, like, I know where to go to find it. I don't need it thrown at me.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're both kind of in that place where we could definitely produce more than we consume, like, especially, you know, like how we speak and the things we talk about. For us to just make videos and talk out there without having to, like, again, look at validation or what's that person doing. I know for me, I used to like, I'm not qualified to make videos. Now I'm like, fuck that. I'm like, I'm fucking saying whatever I want. But at the same time, sometimes I'm like, shit, maybe I should talk about this stuff more, or maybe I'm not, or maybe I want to do that because I see that other guy doing that. But I'm like, is that the battle I want to fight right now? Is it really what I'm trying to do here? Like, there's all this stuff. Cause, you know, I started all this stuff way before COVID, and it was like, it was just been this weird journey of like different things. And I guess it's a great place to sort of lead people to think. It's like, you know, who do you want to show up as? And, you know, sometimes you need to close down social media and get clear on that and like show up from like who's true to you. And I had to do what you just said, is like unfollow a ton of people, because I had all this shit and it's like, I'm looking at these things and it actually made me feel dumber. Like, when I get up in the morning and I look at Instagram before I do my shit, like, I can't focus on stuff because my brain's like, and I'm like, that's nuts. It's crazy. And it's like that right there, you got to take control of that. And if it affects you and it's getting in the way, I think it's really important to kind of ask those questions and to maybe unplug from social media or following these people, good or bad.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Cause like, you know, so many people, most people, or I don't know, a lot are using it in a business and like as a business in some sense. Right. And so they're like, you have to do this if you want your business to grow. You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do you struggle with this? Do you struggle with this? Do you struggle, right? And so then you could be like sitting there and be like, oh my gosh, I have all these things wrong with me. Oh my gosh, I need to do this marketing this way and this thing and this thing. And I should do a webinar like that. And this person said that, but that person said this, right? It's like
totally
exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
And the interesting thing is too, like a lot of those people who, like a lot of people who I admire and look up to, whether it's for, well, I mean, typically it's a combo, like how their like business looks, runs, all of that, and how their life looks and runs. Like, because if your life is shit and you have a really successful business, I don't fucking care, you know? And then if you have like a quote unquote great life, but like no money, then you have a great life. But like, that's not, something's not working there either, in my opinion. But like the people that I really look up to and admire, and I would think of as role models, I'm like, they're not following like anybody and consuming anyone's stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of them, or this stuff, and they've talked about this, or the stuff that they are consuming is like home decor or like nature stuff. It's like has nothing to do with business and that they, the like world that they're actually in.
Wow. That's a great,
like more inspiration.
That's a great place to end. I think that's something to think about. And like, even for myself, I'm like, man, that's so true. And I think a lot of people listening can probably relate. And you got so much value. I really appreciate you coming on. This was awesome. Like, this was,
I love this. This was so fun. I'm like, we're already at time. I could keep going.
I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, fuck, I got to wind it up. I don't want to. I mean, so where can you, I wanted to get into like, how you're able to create all this stuff. Like, you just fucking create so many programs.
Yeah, we can do a part two.
We could.
And like, and also like ADHD is a part of it.
Yeah. How does somebody,
oh boy.
So you got a bunch of stuff happening. How does somebody connect with you? Obviously your Instagram is a good place to start, right? And your Instagram is Lauren
Salon, like hair salon.
Right.
Yeah.
All one word.
So, yep. All one word. Lauren, Lauren, Salon, Salaun. Yeah. That's the best place to connect with me, actually, is Instagram. As I said, you can slide into the DMs. Yes. My team manages those for me now, but they've asked them a lot. Oh, it's so
good
nice.
To know.
It's so nice.
The thing, I didn't say anything appropriate. No, I'm just kidding.
No, for like friend, like they do know when I'm like, okay, hey, if it looks like it's like a personal relationship or a friend, like you don't need to check that, like I'll just flag them for me and I'll get in there. Yeah. But yeah, because it was just like, it's such, because here's the thing, like, and I know we're wrapping up, like that has been one of the biggest lessons for me too, is like access to me, right? Especially as like former people pleaser and like, oh yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. Oh, you need help with this? Yes, right? Like, and just then like completely like neglecting myself. And so access to me and being really intentional with access to me has been such a powerful lesson to learn. And the thing with Instagram and DMs is like, anyone can fucking DM you, right? Which is like amazing. But also, it can be one-sided, right? People DMing and expecting a response or something like that. I'm like, I didn't choose into this conversation. Like, I don't know you, right? Like, right. And so, but
so true.
I don't want to like, this is why I'm on Instagram and doing what I do. Cause I'm like, I want to connect with people who are getting value out of what I'm sharing and all of that. But it can be so, it was giving me so much anxiety trying to stay on top of DMs and trying like all of that. So I was like, I need help with this. So like, yeah, have my team help. And it's been amazing. It's like literally just been 1 week and it's been so helpful. But anyway, my whole point with that is, if you DM me, like one, it won't fall through the cracks anymore, right? Okay. Like somebody, either myself or team, will get back to you. So yeah, Instagram is the best place to find me. In my bio, there's like all the fun ways that you can connect and get plugged in. Yeah. And I know, we should do like a part two or something.
Yeah, I wish we could do one in person that we could put on both of our shows. It'd be so fun.
Yeah.
And you also got Amplify Podcast, which is great. And I mean, everybody, we will definitely connect with you. And again, thank you so much. Hopefully we get to meet up in person at some point, you know?
I know. I don't necessarily have any Canada plans.
Well, I'm not going to be there for that.
Yeah.
Me coming. The States, unfortunately, with visa stuff, I have to like figure that out. But yeah, I mean, that's where I plan to end up being is in the States. We just need to send that out to
the because like, so you were just in Sedona is not far.
I love Miami. I want to end up in Miami. I want a studio. I want a studio in Miami. I fucking love that place. There's something about it. I just, when I land there,
it's so fun.
Yes, I love this place. I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
I don't know if it's the $15 matcha teas or what, but
I've only been to Miami once actually, but like it doesn't feel super like the United States. Like it's like a bit more of like tropical and like, you know, tropical vibes, which is fun.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. All Thanks, everybody. Make sure to follow Lauren. Okay.
Awesome. See ya.
Thanks, everybody. What a great conversation. So good, right? Make sure to go follow Lauren on Instagram. She got all the goods, creating tons of courses, tons of content. And if you like what she does, go hit her up. She's got a great PR company and she's helped some amazing people. So thanks, everybody. Make sure to leave us a review or at the very least, subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to this. All of this stuff helps. And of course, I'll leave you with this. Mastering Adversity, my new book, is available. If you don't have a copy yet, go grab one. If you like what you hear on the show, you want to hear my story, you want me to dive into what it means to overcome adversity, if you want a roadmap to move through it, the book will help you. I promise you that. It'll help shift your perspective and give you the opportunity to take your power back and to look at things different. It's all about creating awareness and applying these changes into your life. So grab a copy of Mastering Adversity. It's available. And most importantly, have an amazing day. We'll see you guys next episode.